For the Rugby League fans, State of Origin 3 gets underway tonight at 5:30. You can watch it on 9 Gem, of course. And if you do, you'll be hearing the great voice of Ray Warren.
Here's Gidley running off of Michael Innes' ball. He's gone through. He's got support coming. Innes is still on his right. Jennings on his left. He wasn't held in the tackle. He got him away. Here come the Blues again.
All right, the excitable voice of Ray Warren. You know that one. And he joins us now. Good morning to you, Rabs.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, mate.
You are like an icon of the sport, right?
Oh, that's a very complimentary thing to say. I've been called a few other things, but anyway. I'll accept it.
Come on, you know it's
true.
But
it must be amazing to have such an iconic voice, yeah. You know, to the point where you should really be doing like a celebrity GPS.
Great call.
You're the Dennis Cometti of rugby league, essentially.
Well, that's another compliment. So I'm going to have to go outside and take the call because I won't get outside the doors. But, funny thing you say that, I did a GPS for somebody in Melbourne, I think Yellow Pages, Census, something like that.
Yeah, yes. Right.
And I think Dennis also did one at the same time. So that idea of directing people around the streets,
yes.
I've already done that. But for you people to say those sort of things so far away across Australia, I'm a little bit, humbled by it.
Ray, on that, so all the other commentators that, over in WA, as you know, it's AFL-centric, so we get to hear Bruce McAvaney and Dennis, and, you know, there's some iconic sports callers out there. Do you guys learn anything off each other? Have you met all these other guys around Australia?
Only very briefly. I think I've had maybe two conversations at an airport with Bruce. I think I met Dennis once or twice. I'm very much a fan of both of them. And, you know, I'm totally aware of who they are and the place they hold in the sports commentary organisations that we live in. But, yeah, I mean, what can I say? They're both very, very good at their craft. But, no, I wouldn't say we live in each other's pockets, mainly through geography, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ray, I've always had a belief that anyone that uses binoculars are perverts. But now I see that that's what you do when you commentate. And now I know that as commentators and bird watchers, they're the only people that aren't perverts. Mm. How the hell do you use binoculars? I can never see anything through binoculars. I can't get my eyes focused well enough. But you seem like they're just an extension of your body.
Well, it's a funny thing, you know. I probably should have learnt by now to put them down and not use them. But some of our stadiums are quite large.
Mm.
And I started off sitting at a card table on the sideline and calling the football from there. And I just naturally took the binoculars with me from race calling because I started mainly calling races. I had the pleasure of calling with Ken Howard and John Tapp, and I called 3 Melbourne Cups.
Did you really?
And I was using binoculars quite obviously. And they came with me as part of my baggage to rugby league. And I know a lot of commentators just call off the monitor, but I can't get used to that. So I've always had my faithful binoculars next to me. Just when play gets a fair way away and perhaps the director goes for a wide shot, I don't trust the director doing that, so I want to be right on the ball and know who's got the ball.
Okay, so do you have, because they're so important to you, obviously, do you have a spare set in case you forget yours? How many sets of binoculars do you have?
I've got two these days. I kept the binoculars I used for race calling. They were 10 by 50, Carl Zeiss. And then I picked up a pair in a hock shop down here at Parramatta about 20 years ago.
Somebody didn't have a good day on the races, yes.
They were $7 at Dunny's backside at the racetrack up the road at Rose Hill. And it was funny, you know, you say you can't look through binoculars. Maybe they're broken. And when I saw them, I said, my God, there's a pair of binoculars in the window, Carl Zeiss. So I went in and I said, can I have a look at those binoculars? And I looked at them through the wrong way, the reverse way,
yes.
which is the way to test a binocular.
Oh, is that right?
It will show, it's only when you look like that you will see a smashed prism or you'll see a fractured prism. I said to him, I said, how much do you want for these? He said, 120. I said, well, they've got a shattered prism. He said, what's that mean? I said, I don't quite know, but have a look through here. And he said, you're looking through the wrong way. I said, no, no, no. I said, this is how you test them.
Yes.
So he said, well, what are they worth? I said, nothing. I said, I'll give you $20. He said, give me the $20.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I went and had them repaired by Carl Zeiss, and they've been with me ever since for 20 odd years.
Oh, do you know what? Brilliant, that is the most we've ever learned about binoculars. Yeah. That is amazing.
Ever.
Now, Ray, you have done some amazing things in your career. We're making the most of having a chat to you now. Mm. So you've got an Order of Australian Merit, which is just unbelievable. But at the same time, you're well known for a lot of people being on the 12th Man albums. Now, which one to you
is the higher honour?
The highest honour?
I get a particular kick out of Richie's deciding that it might be time to retire, and he and David Leckie are talking about a replacement, and Richie doesn't like Darryl Eastlake, but he favours me, and he's pushing for me, and it's quite laughable, really. It's just wonderful the stuff that he's done, Billy, when he does Rabs, and then there's another one he does where he's invented a brother of mine called Reg Warren.
Yes.
And there is no Reg Warren. I had two brothers, Bob and Jack, and they're since deceased. But dear old Jack, he heard this Birmingham on the radio talking to me one day about my brother Reg. And you, Ray, you've forgotten all about Reg. You don't care about Reg. You don't want to recognise Reg.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, please go away, Billy, go away. But anyway, when I got off the radio and got in the car, Jack was on the phone. He's in a nursing home. He said, we haven't got another brother, have we?
Do we?
We don't have another brother, do we?
Oh, that's great. Ray, the other thing you're famous for is calling the swimming over the years as well.
Yeah, swimming.
You've called some fantastic swimming races in your time. Is there one that stands out to you?
I think the fact that I came through with that unbelievable batch of swimmers, it's very hard. I had a sort of a secret love affair going with Susie O'Neill.
Yeah.
She was chasing the 200 fly world record that had stood for 18 years. And I got carried away with her a couple of times. Ian Thorpe was just, you know, it was a dream come true for me because I'm too scared to get in the bathtub, but calling Thorpe was so exciting. Calling Hackett was exciting. So what can I say? I suppose the world record that Hackett, when he smashed Perkins' record in Fukuoka in 2001, he didn't just break it. He took 6 seconds off it. So I think that might have to be the most memorable
Is it tough to call those 1,500 metre races? Because, you know,
so
you were
long,
talking 14 and a half minutes worth compared to, you know, 40-odd seconds when it's the 100 metres. You're in for the long haul with that one, aren't you?
Yeah, you're very perceptive. They are the hardest races to call because they're so long. I mean, they go for, 14 and a half minutes now. But back when Conrad's and Rose were swimming, they were 18 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you've got to have people around you like Nicole and Duncan. You have to have them around you so that you can patter and ad-lib and ask them a question, all that sort of
or
stuff.
Or at least have the paper there and just start reading out the Zodiac star signs, Gemini.
Hey, Ray, we better talk about the game tonight, obviously. Queensland looking for the clean sweep here. Mm. It's hard to say for me all of a sudden. They've been outstanding for over a decade now. It's been quite incredible the amount of talent they've been able to stockpile in one team.
There's no doubt about that. And I think people here in New South Wales tend to forget that these fellas that have been going out there wearing the sky blue, we shouldn't be too tough on them because they've come through against a once-in-a-lifetime team or juggernaut from Queensland.
Yeah.
There are five of those players, possibly six over time. Keep in mind that Lockyer was there when it started.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably five or six of them that could well be termed as not only superstars but future immortals of the game of rugby league. So, I mean, poor old Paul Gallen, who retires tonight, he came in 2006 when the dynasty started. There couldn't have been a worse year to come in, but he did, and of course he's been up against this champion Queensland side. So I always make allowances before I start to even remotely be critical of New South Wales.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I really feel sorry for those group of players because they're always going to be on the front page of the paper, losing a series possibly time and time again on the back of playing against Australia's best ever players.
And they're some of the, true great players of the game. We better, before we let you go, just get a prediction of the scoreline tonight. What do you think, Ray?
Well, the wind's blowing very, very heavily here in Sydney. We've had a lot of wind the last couple of days, which will make the pitch a lot faster than it is normally. So I'm thinking it might be a high-scoring game, and I think the Blues might just get home, you know, say 24-20, something like that.
No worries, Ray. We'll be able to watch all your action calling the game 5:30 tonight on 9 Gem Game 3. Ray Warren, absolute pleasure.
You're a
to catch
national
up with you,
treasure,
mate.
Ray. Thanks, thank mate. You. And we've never known so much about binoculars.
Well, now we know to look in the opposite way and check for the prism.